Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this evening is also our gospel lesson for the day. It is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is our text. Dear people of God, according to Norman Rockwell and Heloise, we are all supposed to eat our Thanksgiving dinners tomorrow at big long tables about 3 feet off the ground, highly decorated, sitting in big wooden chairs with our elbows off the table, napkin on the lap, silverware all arranged accordingly. That's how Jesus is depicted eating the Last Supper, according to how Da Vinci painted it. But as you can see from this text, that's not how they ate at all. They had no tall tables like that. They had no tall chairs. They had no silverware. In those days, the Jews ate on short tables, maybe 8-10 inches off the ground, with cushions arranged around the table. And they all leaned on the cushions on their left arm. And then they lay out and they pass dishes with their right hand and they ate with their fingers. At the Last Supper, sometimes we're confused how the seating arrangements were. That's not right at all. Because we hear that Peter asked John to ask Jesus something. And then Jesus was able to do that thing without anybody else seeing. Da Vinci painted the uproar as the betrayer was identified. But when you read scripture, there was no uproar. Nobody knew what had happened. For as they're laying on their sides, you can see how Peter could whisper in John's ear, ask him who the betrayer was. And then John, laying on his side, could just ask Jesus, Lord, identify him. And then Jesus could dip the sop, which was a piece of lamb. It wasn't bread, it was lamb. He dipped it in the sauce called a sop. And he could hand it straight across the table to Judas with almost no effort. And the rest of the disciples would have no idea what had happened, because these four men were on the end of the table with Judas across from Jesus. That's how they ate, lying down. And you can see it here. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and lay down, reclined at the Pharisee's table with his feet behind him. That's why this woman had access to his feet. She wasn't under the table, out of sight. She was in plain view. While Jesus was eating, she was behind him doing these things to his feet. She was crying on the feet, wiping them with her hair, kissing them, pouring the perfume on them. In plain view for everyone to see in the room. In plain view for everyone to stand with their mouths wide open, gawking at her and judging Jesus. If this man were a prophet, and he certainly is no prophet, he would know who's touching his feet, that she's a prostitute. This awful, sinful woman. If Jesus knew, if he was really the holy man he claims to be, he would never allow such a thing. But Jesus did know. Jesus is the Lord. He knows all. He knew the woman's history, but he also knew her heart. He knew her repentance. Jesus knew Simon the Pharisee. He knew his thoughts and his heart and his self-righteousness. And so while the woman continues her task, Jesus can have a conversation with Simon laying across from him at the table while the woman does her work. Simon! Yes, teacher. Notice how sarcastic he is, as if Jesus were his teacher. I have something to tell you. Two men owed money to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now a denarii was a day's wage. That's a much simpler money system than ours. You work a day for a guy, he gives you one coin. Boom, denarii. So let's just say for the sake of math that a denarii is worth $100. 50 denarii would be a month and a half's wages. So at $100, it would be $5,000, a tidy sum. But the 500 denarii would be a year and a half's wages, like $50,000. So it's $5,000 versus $50,000. And neither one of the men can pay the debt. Might as well be a million to these guys. They can't pay it. I understand. But the crazy thing is, so did the moneylender. Which shows us what Jesus' parables are. Jesus' parables, we say they are these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. But when you look at the parables themselves, they're wild stories. Each one of them has something in it that's very shocking. Something that would make you say, well, this doesn't happen. The parables actually don't translate very well into our culture, because we don't do any of these things. But maybe this one does. When has a moneylender ever forgiven a debt? I mean, that's how they live, is receiving their debts back. The bank has never said, just forget about it. But this moneylender does. Forgives the debt of both men. And now the question. Simon, which of these debtors will love the moneylender more? They'll both love him, but one more. And it's such a simple question that even the obstinate Pharisee can answer this question. Well, I guess the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And then Jesus points to the woman as he's talking to Simon. He says, do you see this woman? I want you to compare yourself to her. I came into your house, Simon. You didn't give me any water for my feet. Now, water for a person's feet was a common courtesy. These people wore sandals all day. No socks, just sandals, and their feet were disgusting. It's not so much that they wanted their feet washed coming into your house. It's more like you wanted them to wash their feet when they came into your house. They were gross. But Simon gave Jesus no water for his feet. It'd be kind of like coming into church and the usher has the bulletins and he reaches out to give you one and pulls it back. Not for you. These are for important people. No, they're not. They're for everybody. That's the kind of slap in the face it was to not wash Jesus' feet when he came into the house. Simon, you did not give me a kiss. Again, this is a common practice. Wouldn't be weird like it would be with us. This is the old kiss on the two cheeks like they do in that part of the world. For us, this would be like someone coming up to shake your hand and then pulling their hand away. I'm not shaking your hand. Simon, you did not pour oil on my head. This one's a little more special. This didn't happen all the time. But again, in that part of the world, they all had beards. It's all full of junk and sand. Pouring oil on the head would cool the skin that's been out in the sun. And would also, they'd comb it out then, and it would clean the beard. It would be very polite for Simon to offer Jesus, the rabbi, such a special treat. But there's no way Simon is going to pour oil on Jesus' head, because to Simon, Jesus wasn't special. Simon, you certainly don't see me as your Savior, and you certainly don't see me as being able to take away your sins. But the woman, Simon, look at the woman. Look at what she's doing. She's not washing my feet with water. She's washing my feet with her own tears of repentance. Look at the woman. She is not kissing my cheek like civilized people do. She's kissing my disgusting, dirty feet that you didn't wash. Yes, she kisses them with kisses of worship and thanksgiving. Simon, this woman has taken her ill-gotten money, and she bought very expensive oil mixed with perfume, and she has poured this perfume on my now hair-washed feet because she loves me so much, Simon. This woman loves me so much because I have forgiven her many sins, and that's the point of the story. Yes! She had many sins. Jesus was not excusing her sinful lifestyle. Jesus said she had many sins, just like the man owed much money. But the Lord Jesus is powerful enough to take away the sins of the world, even hers, even yours. Jesus came to open heaven for those who have disqualified themselves from heaven. The point? Simon, get on board. You need to repent yourself. If you are not thankful to the Lord Jesus, it's not because he hasn't been good. Rather, it's because of your stubborn refusal to see how good he has been. your refusal to see how many sins he has forgiven. See, are any of us just a couple, three sins away from being holy? No. We need a truckload of forgiveness. Every day. And the Lord Jesus has provided that and way more. And that's why we love him so much. See the Lord's great forgiveness to you and be thankful. Amen.